live and on location. I learned a thing about Darren Gant this morning. He's wearing a Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame polo.
That's right.
There's a story there, I'm sure. Darren Gant, dispenser of wisdom, Panthers.com. He's Uncle DG to us. He's with us on location. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. DeLome's just a little salty because I'm in the hall and he's not.
Did you really say that to him once upon a time? Did you flash that polo?
It's possible that, you know, we've made that joke before, but I have been known to go back to the well time and again. But anyway, no, it's there's some friends down there. I helped them out with writing contest they did, so they sent me free stuff. And you know the rule, if somebody sends me free clothes, I'll wear them.
That's absolutely true. So what's a football writer doing at a golf tournament?
Well, they're football people here.
That's true.
Shaq Thompson was out there belting it around this morning. He's playing in the Pro-Am. Christian will be out here, Christian McCaffrey, later on this afternoon. I'm sure he'll draw quite a crowd, you know, among the other luminaries out here on the property. So yeah, there's football people around, so I managed to sneak my way past security and duck in here.
So you've been out walking the course a little bit. Did you happen to run into what I can only assume is an army following Roy Williams and Mac Brown this morning?
There were some crowds out there. There are a lot of Tar Heels on this property, believe it or not.
That makes sense to me, especially given it being Roy Williams Celebration Day here at the Wells Fargo Pro-Am.
And it's good to see those crowds out here again. It's just so good to be in a crowd. I mean, you're doing that promo for the concert, and it's like, we miss concerts.
Right?
We miss being at stuff.
Right?
And so just being out here, I mean, and that's the neat thing about this event. You don't have to walk this property long before you run into somebody you know.
Yep.
You're going to see a friend. You're going to see a neighbor. You're going to see, you know, different folks. And that's already happened to me out here today, too. So it feels good to be in the building. We've had sports for a while, and they've been happening effectively in TV studios. And now you're actually out here, and there's stuff happening, and it's just a neat feeling.
Well, you said it best. I mean, you walk around long enough, you're going to run into somebody you either know or know of. Two years ago, I literally almost ran headfirst into Luke Kuechly, or vice versa, a.k.a. I nearly went on the IR for about 8 weeks. But everybody's out here. It's a great event.
Yep.
And, you know, you're here. I know that some of the players are here. And you and I have been talking so much about the draft lately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people got draft fatigue. You know, we've been at it for weeks and months. And we finally got here, and I talked to Matt Rhule yesterday. They're feeling pretty good about their draft class, aren't they?
They really are, and they're feeling pretty good about the way it came together. I think this year, and I wrote this the other night as it was all kind of coming together, this draft was kind of the recognition of where they actually are in the process of building. This was and I don't know if it was 100% that way last year, because last year you sort of walk in the door and you see all these parts, and it's like, wow, there's Christian McCaffrey. Things look pretty good at a certain level, and then it got young in a hurry, and then things got weird. And this year was the time when I think they took kind of a clear-eyed look at the roster and said, we need more stuff. And if you look at who's under contract for 22 and 23, that list gets shorter and shorter. So this was kind of a chance to hit reset, and buying in bulk was part of the process. And Brady Christensen, who you mentioned, he's a guy they're really excited about, maybe at a couple of positions. He's, you know, they think he can contribute pretty quickly. It's just a matter of finding out where, and that's kind of where they are. They've got all this new stuff, and now they're in the process of seeing how it all fits together, and that's going to be the job for the next couple months.
It's interesting because, and look, you've been around here longer than I have, and you've seen a lot of things happen on the sports landscape here, but it feels like, you know, the two big professional sports organizations in this city, from a management and organizational standpoint, have really started to turn a corner here over the last 6 months. Do you feel that way?
It does feel that way. I mean, it's interesting because, again, it makes me feel old sometimes, but it's been a long time since both teams have been good or interesting, or even where you felt they weren't dysfunctional in some way. I mean, one or the other was always down here in the gutter, and it's been a long time since they were both kind of arcing in a positive direction. And I mean, it's been interesting to me following along, you know, Hornets as you can if you're a cord cutter, and seeing what's happening with the Panthers right now. I mean, there was a very tangible feeling of coming out of that draft of, okay, there's direction now. There's a clear vision of what you want it to look like. And you know, if Sam Darnold can play well, they'll be on the upswing soon.
Matt Rhule told me yesterday that basically, you know, his approach or his, I guess, thought process as it pertained to Sam Darnold mm-hmm. and J.C. Horn in the first round was, I mean, it felt like it was along the same lines of thinking with the numbers game of the draft. Because he said, look, I'd rather have a quarterback that we like and a potential lockdown corner, than drafting a single quarterback in the first round.
Exactly.
And he made the point of emphasizing yesterday, you know, that as I've been saying, no matter how much you like Justin Fields, and I do, I still think he should have been the second quarterback off the board personally. The odds say that the majority of these guys in the first round are not going to turn into franchise quarterbacks.
No, they're not. And that's a good way of looking at it, is basically it's Sam Darnold and J.C. Horn instead of just Justin Fields. Because if you don't have Sam, then you're kind of obligated. And they talked about that a lot, of filling in so many blanks in free agency and other moves they made that allowed them to kind of be in that spot where, listen, I don't know exactly how the conversation's gone around here, but I kind of get a sense of comments and stuff like that. I think J.C. Horn came out of the blue for some people, but J.C. Horn's that guy. And they haven't had that guy at that position for a long time. Even when Josh Norman was here and playing at a Pro Bowl level, it took Josh Norman 5 years of building up. I mean, he was a game day healthy scratch a lot in his first couple years. They haven't had that corner that you look at and say, okay, there goes half the field. Since Chris Gamble or Kenny Lucas, I mean, it's been a long time since they've had that kind of dog. And Horn is, he's that dude.
He is that dude.
He's that dude. And I think people are going to be pretty excited when they get him out there on the field.
Well, and I do think pre-draft perceptions being what they are factor into how people feel about draft picks and the immediate reaction to it. Because everybody now is conditioned to read all the mock drafts and you know, buy into the narratives of who's rising and who's falling. But the truth is, as you just, I think, alluded to, you know, I know the conversations that I had with people in that building, they were pointing me in the direction of J.C. Horn for about 3 weeks leading up to the draft, you know, saying, we really, really like this kid.
And
so they take him, and that was one of the two biggest positions of need for this team, if we're being honest. We knew they needed a left tackle, but we also knew they still needed quarterback
and
help.
They were right there. I mean, they were one pick away from Penei Sewell dropping into their laps, and you know, that would have probably been the guy. You know, I don't feel like that's a stretch by any imagination, but, you know, they were that close to having that box checked off. And, you know, that's, again, they've got some options. We'll see with what they did deeper in the draft. I mean, getting Christensen, I think he's a good value based on where they had him pegged on the board. I'm fascinated to see Deonte Brown. I mean, you know me, I like old man football. So big guys, big fellas are interesting to me. And between Deonte Brown and this guy, David Moore, the undrafted rookie from Grambling that they signed.
Two monsters.
That's 700 pounds of person that you could conceivably see in the second half of a preseason game this year. And I saw it at the Senior Bowl when I was down there in Mobile in January, and you see that much mass next to each other, and it's like, okay, that's something you can work with. You can only do certain things, but you can do things definitely in a big way with those two cats there. So a lot of competition, a lot of numbers. I mean, they went out and signed three free agents. They drafted a couple and brought in another undrafted. So numbers at that position, and now they just got to sort.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, hanging out with us for just a couple more minutes here, live from Quail Hollow, 2021 Wells Fargo Championship. It's Pro-Am Day here at Quail. Two things. Just to that point, when I heard Matt Rhule say, if you have to scheme up your running game every week, you don't have a running game.
And when
I saw Deonte Brown and David Moore, those picks specifically, and then, of course, the emphasis on getting Brady Christensen, I mean, you get an idea between that and Matt Rhule, I think really just reemphasizing, we don't expect Sam to come in here and be the savior. We need Sam to show up and work every day, and he's only going to be as good as the guys around him. I think they're going to run the ball a ton this year.
Yeah, they should, and that's the thing. And hopefully, for Sam Darnold's sake, Christian stays healthy and is able to play a little more than he was last year. And that's the key to it all. I mean, you got to be lucky in addition to some of this other stuff. But, yeah, they're absolutely, I think, trying to insulate that position. And again, I don't know how the reaction's been to Sam around here, but Sam gives them an opportunity to build a whole team. I mean, I know there were names at quarterback that got talked about early in the offseason that didn't get traded for. And there were other opportunities. And Sam might not be the sexiest name at quarterback, and it might not work. I mean, there is also that possibility. I mean, we're not sure. I mean, they've got to do stuff around him, but they're giving him a chance to be successful that he never enjoyed in New York.
You said something, I think you just mentioned it a moment ago, Bally Sports Southeast, you know, difficulty watching the Hornets this year. I've railed about it. You know, I do think I had some guy, some jackwagon on the text line 2 days ago saying, you know, you always bring this up, but I've been telling you for months, all these people have to do is buy a VPN and pay $20 a month and you can watch. Like, dude, do you realize how many people, A, don't want to go through the trouble?
Yeah.
You know, B, don't have the additional income to spend, even if $20 is nothing to you. C, older viewers who might not be as inclined to deal right. with those things. Can you imagine the NFL allowing something like this to happen?
Oh, gosh.
I mean,
yeah.
I'd like what the NBA's done in a lot of ways, but can you imagine the NFL letting this kind of issue proceed or proceed throughout a season like
well,
this?
Well, and I think they're taking baby steps in that direction. I mean, when you see the Thursday night games go Amazon only in, what is it, 22 or 23? I mean, that's there's going to be a time where streaming is the avenue, but they couldn't. I mean, it's all about access to the product. And, I mean, that's what's curious to me. When I've been able to see the Hornets on a national broadcast, follow along highlights on Twitter, it's like, whoa, that's a team that a lot of people, that would be easy to like. You would get excited about that. There's no doubt. But no, I don't ever imagine a situation because the NFL knows that what it's got going for it is momentum. It's everywhere. I mean, it's May and we're talking about post-NFL draft right now. And in a couple weeks, we'll be talking about rookie minicamp. And in a couple weeks after that, we'll be talking about OTAs. And a month after that, we'll be talking about training camp. And they've managed to monopolize the entire calendar.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think that this is, and I have my own issues with why the NFL won't expand the availability of some games on Sunday instead of just locking into networks. But again, the NFL, I cannot imagine the National Football League letting this kind of issue persist the way that it has.
No.
I just have a hard time with it. Darren Gant, good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, man, good to see you.
Great to see you.
Hopefully they don't throw me out of this place.
I don't think they will. Just keep flashing that Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame polo. Right. I think that'll get you in just about anywhere.